For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, returning with another weekly look at the world of non-league football. Just me and a few guests this week as the season in the National League unravels a little bit more. We speak with a manager with more knowledge and experience under his belt than most ahead of a likely Chester battle as he hopes to lead his Torquay United to victory in their National League playoff semi-final against Notts County. And there's a return for an old friend of the show, normally celebrating success on the field with us here. This time he's here to tell us about a new plan to help lads off the field as well as on it heading into the new season. A little teaser as well for you here. While Dave Anson might not be joining me at the moment because of his other commitments elsewhere on the Non-League Football Show, I have sent him out to continue and pick up again with the Non-League gaffer tapes. But slight different twist, that's the year that we're in. He's gone off and interviewed his own former gaffer. Yes, Dave Anson back next week with the Non-League Gaffer Tapes with an interview with Eric Samuelson, former finance director and chief executive, I believe for 17 years at AFC Wimbledon. He's written a new book about the development of the club from his involvement up until their new ground now as they're playing in the Football League. But there's some real insights into the workings of a club, the workings of dealing with fans, of dealing with managers, ins and outs. And here's a little snippet and a little taster of some of the content that Dave Anson's been able to record with Eric Samuelson, formerly of AFC Wimbledon, for you to pick up and have a listen on the Non-League Gaffer Tapes coming out via usual channels next week.
Give me your name and record.
Eric Samuelson. I was finance director and then chief executive of AFC Wimbledon for 17 years.
My goodness, and this is different. I've stopped doing the gaffer tapes with managers for COVID and now all sorts of different reasons. So, and I wanted to do this, so I've slid it in under the gaffer tape stuff, and we will try and get through as much as I want. And I would like to say to people, I'm delighted to be able to turn the tides on this.
I'm going to say, I was a gaffer. There's no problem in having
because I've sat in your office the other way around on a few occasions back in the day.
Yeah, I was always gentle with you.
Yes, I know. Well, we'll see.
I'll say this now because I don't want to keep going on, but I've written a book about the club, about from beginning to opening the new stadium. And Terry was sacked, but we agreed at the hearing, which ended up with that we would effectively, there's no paper there, but we signed a non-disclosure agreement.
Well, that's
so
fine.
All I've done in the book that I've written is talk about what happened afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's a guy, 23 games into a season, 1-22, drawn 1.
He gets sacked.
And you can understand the fans were terribly nice, our fans, but bemused is the least of it.
Well, I would say
so, yeah. It's very aggressive and unpleasant.
Yeah.
And that was where I was lucky, because I was just the other guy. Nobody really knew who I was. I worked for PwC. I'm not rich, especially after working for nothing for 17 years. But you get paid a lot of money compared to most people at a job like that. And so I knew I could afford to retire on the pension they were paying me. And you get to 54 and you think, actually, what they're paying me is not a motivator anymore. I need to do something different. What could it be? And I thought, I love football. Non-executive director of a football club. It's not asking around and thinking, never going to get it. Yeah. I'm not senior enough in this place. Mid-rank. But and then this came up and I thought, and I dived into it in the way that sort of the semi-obsessional way I dive into most things.
Yes, I've seen that.
Which often gets
printed tickets.
But sometimes is a problem for everybody, including me.
Yeah.
And then once I started doing it, there's all sorts of things. This was wrong. This was just absolutely wrong what happened there. It needed putting right. It was exciting. It was fun. You ended up, I think the season after you went, you have a guy that I stood on the terrace of admiring from afar, Marcus Gale, coming in, kissing Ireland on the cheek, asking how her knee is. And you think, this isn't real.
Yeah, this is...
So it's not the glory bit, because what you realise very quickly is, although biologically compared to me they're geniuses, they're just people.
Yeah.
And you have to manage them. But it was great to be so close to it. And if you can't play, if you can't teach, if you can't play football, be an administrator.
No, be a referee, I was taught. Mm-hmm. Well,
so that's to come next week via the usual channels for the Non-League Football Show, Gaffer Tapes. But for now, let's go back to the Non-League Football Show. Let's talk National League playoffs. Let's get matters underway. So let's get to our first guest and a manager who is no stranger to a big occasion. And on Saturday, it's certainly a big occasion. It's a Torquay United side host Notts County in the National League semi-final playoff. And it's an honour to welcome back to the Non-League Football Show manager at Torquay United, Mr. Gary Johnson.
Hi, Tim. Nice to be here.
Yeah, well, it's good to have you on, Gary. At midday kickoff, as a manager, does that affect anything, or are you just pleased to get it done and dusted?
Yeah, I mean, you don't really have an opinion on it. You just have to adjust to it, because you can't moan about it or argue about it. And how we've sort of described it really is, it's only what we would do bar an hour turning up for training. So we really want the boys to do things as normal as possible. And we normally train at 11 o'clock, so we're only an hour more. So they're still having a breakfast, so eat what you normally eat, and you'll have your lunch a little bit later.
Yeah. And I understand you watched last week's Notts County against Chesterfield Eliminator all together as a team. I guess that was useful on many levels.
Yeah, it was. I mean, first of all, it makes sure when the lads are with you that they concentrate and watch the game. When they're at home, they're probably cooking their dinner and making a cup of tea and playing with their Xbox games, whatever it is. So it was good to have us all together and discuss a few things. And we'd had a lunch as well just beforehand, so at least we sorted them out with that, and they could settle down. So, yeah, it turned out a good exercise, very good exercise.
So I guess that's something that you don't normally do then, all sit down and watch a whole game as a team.
That's right, it's the whole game. We always watch highlights of a team, you know, what we think their strengths are, what we think their weaknesses are. You know, we always do that, but to save them, we sort of create the highlights. Our analyst does it, and Downsy, my assistant, they sort of put together the highlights of probably 10 minutes or so that saved the lads watching every game. But this was an important one for them to see the whole game, because actually we didn't know who we was going to be playing at that time. You know, obviously we were playing Notts County, but it was you know, the preliminary game beforehand, and we watched it without knowing until the very end actually who we're going to be playing.
Yeah, it's quite a weird position to be in, really, because you were pitched at the post to the title by Sutton, but a second you get this home advantage straight into the semis. But I guess as a manager, that puts a different focus on your role, because you're 2 weeks without a competitive game, and so has it been more a case of man management than coaching?
Yeah, the programme of events in the lead-up to this game on Saturday was going to be important. We had to make sure that the boys worked, rest and played. You know, I know that was at the old Mars advert, wasn't it? But that's what we had to do, and no chocolate. But, the work, rest and play was important, because you couldn't give them too much over a long period of time. You had to make sure that they got their training in anyway, so that was your work. The rest was, you know, we gave them a day off here and there, to make sure they could recuperate. And then, of course, the play came when, you know, we're in a great area here where we can go out, we can walk down the beach, we can walk down the seafront, you know, we can do quite a lot of things as far as, you know, giving them that break from intensive work building up to a big game. We got enough intensive work in, but as I say, we had to rest as well and then have a bit of fun.
Yeah, and it's been such a long and weird year, and I guess the psychology coming into this game is all important. Former goal Mark Ellis scored the winner for County, Notts County on the weekend. I'm sure there's a few fans that will take that as a good omen as well.
I'm sure. I mean, you know, a lot of our fans know Mark Ellis as well, because obviously he was on the phone at one stage before my time, but at Torquay, so they know him well, and he's a great soul, and you know, he's a good player, and you've got to be aware of his strength. It's a matter of now of just getting ourselves up for it. That's massive, because you know you can't go into these games half-hearted. So we've got to make sure we get up for it, and then you've got to make sure the boys have got to make sure that they bring out their best game, because only their best game will be good enough. And I'm sure the Notts County manager would be saying that to his team.
Yeah, it's the best game. There's so many variables, isn't there? That some of them within your control, some without. And the fans as well. They're going to be also important this weekend. A sellout, only home fans there. But you need them to play their part at the right times, I guess. I was wondering if you got some of those old-fashioned applause boards that they used to use in the US TV sitcoms. You know, hold them up when you need a big cheer or something.
No, our Torquay fans are more intelligent than that. They know when to clap. They know when to boo. They know what they got to do at any point, you know, to liven the team up. And to be fair, since I've been here, they've been brilliant. I mean, the team's been successful, of course. And so, you know, that's why they're all happy. But I think they've got an affinity with the team, and the team's got an affinity with the supporters, even though we haven't seen them for a little while. You know, obviously, Barnet game was about 2 or 3 weeks previous, but the home fan that was the last time we had fans in. But the home fans are so important, as proved with Hartlepool. You know, beating who did they beat?
When they beat Bromley
game anyway.
Bromley,
yeah, that's
Bromley
right. Bromley,
yeah.
And in front of their home fans, and Notts County, they beat Chesterfield in front of their home fans. So it's definitely, you'd like to think it's a slight advantage, and so it should be if you've finished second or third, you know what I mean? So there you go, that's where we are.
Yeah, I mentioned the psychology. Weirdly, you mentioned that Notts County had the advantage of those home fans last week. They got the reverse this week, which is, you know, despite a season of having no fans there for most of the season, that's probably going to be a little unsettling for them, so maybe that gives you an extra edge.
Well, you hope so, but again, your boys have got to turn up, because if you give the opposition any oxygen, i.e. our crowd start getting it after us, we keep giving it away, then that'll give them lots of oxygen to go, hold on a minute, these ain't ready for this. So, you know, you've got to make sure that you get that home advantage going, i.e. the fans, by making sure that, you know, all my team as individuals turn up and are nice and competitive, and you know they're not panicking and they're not nervous. You know, they've got to come out and play.
Yeah, and as a journalist at games where the fans have been allowed in recently, albeit in smaller numbers, I'd almost forgotten how much of a difference even a handful of fans can make to a game. When you're a manager in Groves on the touchline, though, do you notice that same impact?
Yeah, I think you do. I mean, we sort of almost got used to, obviously, having no fans, because it's happened the whole season where we've had no fans. Mm-hmm. So, but what we do know is that they do absolutely can make an impact. And, you know, I mean, we've scored a few goals late on, and obviously you need your fans to drive the lads through that time, because it's, you know, at the end of games and people get a little bit tired and they need a little bit of a rocket, and sometimes that can come from the fans. They know that, you know, we're liable, and we can and have done score late goals if we need to, as we did against Notts County. Actually, we were 2-0 down, went down to 10 men, and then we scored in the 75th, I think, make it 2-1 with 10 men, and then we scored in the 98th. I don't know where we got 98 from, but anyway, that's what happened, and we drew 2-2.
They're the 98th minutes that you enjoy. I was going to say, like most semi-finals on paper, this one's so close to call. Yeah, I mean, you managers talk about small margins. I mean, this is barely a margin at all, isn't it? If you were looking at on paper, you mentioned. Go for it.
Go on, Chen. Sorry.
No, I was going to say you drew 0-0 up at Meadow Lane, and then there was that 2-2 draw more recently at Plainmoor, in May. If we head into extra time and then penalties, a spot kick something you've already tried and tested?
Yeah, I'm sure every team that's in the playoffs would have been working on their penalties, just in case. You'd hate not to have done, and then it gets to penalties. So, you know, it's very hard to reciprocate the actual nervousness that the boys will show. But, you know, we try hard by having little competitions and that with the two teams and, you know, making them do a 5-minute run around the pitch fast if they lose at the penalty shootout, you know. So we try and make them concentrate a little bit. And if it, and it's likely that, you know, most games are likely to be pretty close. And I think the four teams that are left in it, there's, I don't think there's a lot between us. You know what I mean? It's credit when you've gone through a season with no fans and you still ended up in the last four of a pretty difficult season.
Yeah, and I did once hear of a manager that got his players to train taking penalty kicks by stripping off and doing it naked to sort of put them under further pressure. Obviously, you get more show offs. And I haven't seen the video evidence of this, so you know I can't.
To believe that, I'm going to need names.
I'm sure there's probably video evidence.
Yeah, I was going to say that's the only thing I don't want, video evidence. I think so. Were you drinking that night or what?
I wasn't involved, but I'm sure. I'll await the various bits of social media to hit my inbox.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, games like these, do you have a plan A, a plan B, a plan C, a plan D, and various set of scenarios planned out, or is this where all your experience pays and the tactical changes sort of come more natural to you?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you win the game, your experiences, you can always claim your experiences come out. I mean, all I can do is do my best for the lads, make sure they're prepared properly, you know, fitness-wise, make sure that the stadium's prepared properly, and then, you know, try and A, G the lads up, and B, G the fans up. And, you know, I have mentioned to the press this week that, you know, it'd be great if the ground is bouncing, I say, because that's a sort of movement that gets people going. So we're hoping that the ground to be bouncing all round, even though it's not a full house. But when you got sort of a couple of thousand in our stadium, it can make a noise, and we got a lot of singers, and it can be you know, quite intimidating, so long as the players are doing their job.
And you, as an experienced manager like that, do you take 10, 20, 30 seconds yourself just to sort of absorb and take all that in? It's something that I always recommend to young managers when they're in their big cup finals and that, because it's a big moment in your life, you know, win, lose or draw in these sort of games. But it's something you want to remember.
It is, but it's too big a job. It's too big a pressure on that particular game. You've got to enjoy the pressure, that's for sure. You know, like that, because that is experience in itself, whether you win or lose. You know, I've been involved in a few playoffs, albeit at Watford as well, with Graham Taylor at Cambridge with John Beck, and myself, obviously, at Yeovil and Bristol. So, you know, I think I know it's not necessarily what I know, it's what I can put over to the lads to make them feel comfortable and to make them not feel nervous, but say, you know, you've come this far, you're good players, go and prove it. You know, see if you can be a big game player. That's really what you try and do with the lads, because it's about them, not me. When the whistle goes at, I was going to say 3 o'clock, but when the whistle goes at 12 o'clock.
So this weekend, it's the dad role that you've been playing. Well, I guess the last couple of weeks, you've had to play that dad role with this work, rest and play.
Yeah, it's more like granddad role, really, in my state. You know. But everyone loves their granddad, so that's no problem. Exactly. And we've just made sure that we've got into them enough. We've chastised them when we needed to, and we've praised them when we needed to. And, you know, so you'd hope that you've done the right things for the right reasons, and the boys believe in what you're doing. They believe in themselves, and they believe in their teammates. And obviously the belief in the tactical side of it is important, because you have to attack and defence, so you've got to be ready for both.
Yeah, well, Gary, I believe now you're non-league's favourite granddad. So we thank you once again for joining us on the Non-League Football Show. Wish you well at the weekend and hopefully speak to you again soon.
Cheers, Tim. Thanks a lot.
Well, obviously at the moment we've got a limited amount of football to talk about. We've spoken to managers there, people involved in the playoffs in the National League. But there's plenty of other stuff going on around the world of football. I always talk about the close season being some of the busiest times for people involved in the football club. And it was a great opportunity to get an old friend of the show back on to talk about a new initiative that I saw on social media recently, and he can tell us all about it. So it's a welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Former manager at Atherton Colliery, when we used to speak to him, but back in management at Aston United, hopefully for a full season this year. So a welcome back to Michael Clegg to the Non-League Football Show. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's always a pleasure to get you back on. As I say, I saw this this idea. Now, I'll explain it in my terms. Basically, it's an event for all the players that have been released from clubs that are desperate to look for a club for this season to play for. It's almost like a trialist game meets a job fair. Is that a fair reflection of what you're trying to do?
Yeah, that is exactly how it is. I think what kind of happened over the last few years, especially since my time at Atherton, in the area I live, it's a pretty big area with only a couple of clubs nearby. You've got Atherton Coles, you've got Bolton Wanderers, you've got Charlie, and that's the only really decent semi-pro clubs where lads can kind of go and pick up a bit of money to play. And then other than that, you're going over to Manchester, to Liverpool, or just travelling that little bit further. So over the last few years, we've, just had three friends of friends, can such body train with you? Do you know anyone who's given any jobs? My lad's been released and all that. And then this summer, it really built up, and I just kind of put something out there, said, look, I've got a pretty quiet 48 hours. If anybody needs any help, you'll have to ask me now, because I'm not going to be able to do it all summer. And my phone just blew up, so I thought, I can't deal with that in 48 hours. We're going to have to kind of ring fence this and try and help in another way, which is where we come up with the idea, why don't we have a trial at morning on the Sunday, and then, get these businesses to come in and pitch themselves, and lads just have a really relaxed chat with them about what it is they do. And I think it's unique in the fact that not many people do it. I think quite a lot of people are charging money at the moment for trial games, which these lads don't have. And then I'm just in a fortunate position at the moment with work and football. I'm in a decent place. And I thought, if it cost me a few hundred quid to host, we can look back at it and hopefully we've made a difference. So that's kind of the route we're going down, really.
And to me, it seems such a sensible idea as well, when we're trying to bring everybody together, all the local community, all the people, all the businesses. Although a number of people have not been able to work and maybe been made redundant, that there are businesses that are desperate for people to work for them, and they're struggling because they haven't got the money to advertise as that maybe they would do. It just puts everybody in a melting pot, really, doesn't it? And everybody should win on the back of it.
You're 100% right, and I was absolutely blown away by the generosity of the businesses, blown away. So many people have got in touch. I've had someone who wants to put a stall on to try and get lads over to America, which appeals to a lot of lads now. I've had a local decorating company want to take an apprentice on, put them through college. I've had a local solicitors firm willing to take someone on with not many qualifications, put them back through college, give them a job while they're working. We had a chairman of the Northwest Counties team. He's got his own business. He said he'd take three of them on straight away. Paddyham's assistant manager offered one a job straight off. They're just off the top of my head. I've had, I've got friends who've got a firm who wants to come in and speak to them. What I found astounding is there's so much help out there for these lads, so much help. And And I wanted to kind of get them all together for one day and say, look, everyone's here to help you. Majority of the people here are here because either the son or the selves have been in this position. And it's not the end of the world, but I feel at the moment there is quite a few who are coming in with unrealistic plans. So it's not a day where you shoot them down, but it's got to be like, look, you know, the reality is you're not going to be playing first team football at a league club next year. So you need to go and get some games in, get a job, and maybe have a couple of years where realistically you go and get a career and you get 60 or 70 games in and you build yourself back up that way. And we're going to bring a couple of lads in who've had living proof of that to speak to the group as well. Some who've had living proof that they've built themselves back up, then gone and got a deal. Some who've had living proof that they've built themselves back up and gone and been really successful in semi-pro and in business. And I just thought, why not? You know, worst thing what can happen is we put ourselves out there to help and nothing comes of it. But it looks already, if we get the day right, that it could be a success because we have had quite a lot of interest.
And it's one of those things where I'm constantly banging the drum that non-league can help itself and help. We always talk about this non-league family, and this is a great way of showing that non-league family and how we can all help one another just to make that extra step up.
That is exactly it. I mean, people have literally come out of the woodwork. So straight away, one of the refs out of our league read my post. He's got in touch. I'll provide all the refs for free. We've had like a little group of physios. I'll provide that. That like a load of goalkeepers, I'll come and do the warm up the keepers. We've had people, do you need anyone to set the match days, the teams on the day? We've been inundated with people asking, can they give the time for free up to help with it? And they're all from not the semi-pro circuit, the non-league circuit. Some fantastic people in there, but lads don't know about it because they've never been in it. And once you're in it, you realise what a good community it really can be. And I mean, we all know, you know, we've had players come up through my time at Coles, now at Ashton. I was taking a young lad home, he'd just been released from Bolton. I was taking him home and I was asking him, what does he want to do next? And he was telling me, and I'm on phone to three and four of my mates, try to sort him out a job. And by the time we got home, I think we'd had it, got him full summer working in a sports camp and things like that. And it's just about reaching out and helping these lads. I mean, majority of us have been there at some point, and it's just not easy to just pick yourself up and get on with it. But I think if you're in a room where you see everyone's in the same boat and people willing to help, and they know us as organisers are not just, you know, wanting to take money off them or become their agent from it, or we just basically don't want anything from them, we just want them to get back in employment or get themselves a semi-pro club or whatever it may be. The biggest thing I may take out of it, if there's a couple of decent players there, I might want to take them to Ashton myself, but I'm going to have competition in that, so I'm going to invite every manager from the leagues to the day anyway.
It sounds a great initiative, a great day as well. Have you got a set day for it yet, and so that we can announce that to people?
It's going to be Sunday the 18th of July. The football session is going to be at Bolton Wanderers training ground, and then in the afternoon we're going to go across to the De Vere Hotel at Bolton Wanderers Stadium for the business pitches and that in the afternoon, and to try and get the lads fixed up work wise. And another massive point wanted to get across to these employers, which we did, was some of these lads are the most dedicated lads you'll meet, you know, going to academies from a young age, eating the tea in back of cars, doing their homework in the back of cars, going to games all over the country on Sundays. And they're getting looked over because they've no qualifications, but they're actually some of the most dedicated young men you could meet. And we really wanted to get them out there. And once we've already got a few of them out there, and it's already paying dividends. So we just made up that we can try and help. And look, if we can get a few of them back into football, if we can get a few of them into work, and that'd be great. Financially, we want nothing from it. We'd love the PFA or the FA to take this idea over from us, because while we're all running jobs and football clubs and people involved, it has been a lot of hard work to set up. So I don't want my name necessarily branding all over it or a big thanks for it. I just would like someone to pick up the baton after this first weekend we have and possibly take that off me and let someone else go and do that. But I just thought I really wanted to open people's eyes to the struggles these lads are having.
Well, it had to be started by someone, and who better to start it than yourself? I mean, you mentioned you weren't sure that you'd you know, the time that, that it's sort of taken to put this together. But obviously, you're busy as a manager as well, and I believe you're on your way back to training as well with Ashton United.
Yeah, well, we're going to train this evening. We've gone back a little bit early because we don't want to go straight into three times a week, so we're going to do a couple of sessions. We're aiming to get possibly five sessions in before the start of July, and in that, asking lads to do their own thing because we're just worried we've been away that long. We didn't want to come in full throttle three times a week straight from the off with the high risk of injuries you've had. So we it's just a real just breaking them in and in June and to be honest, pressure from the lads to say, look, you know, there's nothing we can still be doing. Can we not meet up a couple of times here and there and tick over? So that's what we're going to be doing. It's been a good chance for new signings to meet up and get to know each other and spend a bit of time together because we've spent enough time in the house, haven't we, over the last 12 months. I think just so many lads are desperate to get back at it now.
Well, that's the thing. We always talk about successful non-league clubs, well, clubs at any level. It's all about the camaraderie. And without being able to be alongside each other and have a bit of banter in the dressing rooms for the last, definitely the last 6 months or so, it's difficult to build that team, isn't it, from a virtual environment?
It's near enough impossible. You're spot on. And these are things at all levels people don't see. And I think last year we had a fantastic group of lads at Ashton. We didn't have one coach trip. We very rarely got changed together. We couldn't necessarily have a beer in clubhouses after because they were shut. So you couldn't have a team night out. You try and get to each other's birthday parties or whatever it is. They were non-existent. So no one's like girlfriends, families got to know each other. So it was basically just like coming to football and going home. And we were talking about this at our team meeting. I think it's then you realise you don't actually just come for football. It's probably a small percentage of it without sounding daft. You go because, you know, it's your social side. You meet new people. You have a laugh there. You nights out. It becomes a way of life. So when it was just actually the football coming home, no fans, no this, it wasn't actually that enjoyable. And we all kind of touched on that and it was difficult for everyone. And then you go to the top level, when you put it on the other side of it, you look at your teams who've done well this year, West Ham overachieved massively with no fans in. So were they always feeling the pressure of having fans? And it's kind of been a two-way street for some kind of teams, you know. Some have benefited from it, some haven't, but for us at our level, you go because it's your life. So once you just it's literally football and go home, probably not enough to keep you there. You want to make friendships, coach trips, teams nights out, birthdays, get in the clubhouse after the game with fans after a big win and share them moments. And that is what we're all doing it for. And I think it's good because it's been a real kind of brought everyone back down to us and made everyone start from scratch and appreciate what you've actually got.
Yeah, and I think we do appreciate non-league football probably even more, and hopefully more people will as well in the coming season. We certainly appreciate being able to speak to you, Michael.
A
great initiative. We'll keep an eye on social media, and again, if people want to get along to that, then we'll make them aware of it. Michael,
thank you very much.
Great to speak to you. Speak to you in the coming season as well. But look after yourself, and speak to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Time of the week again then to head on over to Non-League Paper Towers. A welcome return to the show for senior writer there, Mr. David Richardson. Welcome back, David.
Hi, Tim. Good to be back on.
It's always a pleasure to get you on. Now, the playoffs in the National League are in full swing. You watched Notts County edge through against Chesterfield last Saturday.
Yeah, that was a really good game last weekend. Notts County winning 3-2, having been behind 2-1 at half time. Yeah, it was a really good game. Good crowd there as well, 4,500. It was a really packed Notts County all the way through it. And, it was quite sort of an eye opener, really, sort of seeing how much the home advantage will count in these playoffs when you know, the home team can have supporters. Obviously, no away supporters can travel. You know, you really sort of felt like Chesterfield sort of in the lion's den, really, and sort of not only sort of playing against the Notts County players, but sort of the fans themselves, really, with that sort of backing. So that was interesting to see. It was a really good game, really good sort of advert for the National League and non-league football. Very sort of high standard, end-to-end, exciting, everything you sort of want, really, and probably everything sort of you consider with the playoffs, although it doesn't always sort of work out like that. A really, really good game. Yeah, Chesterfield were unfortunate in their goalkeeper, James Montgomery, getting injured 10 minutes into the second half, at which time they were still winning 2-1 and kind of felt, you know, not sped off that a little bit. And ultimately their third goal, I think he would have just come out and caught that if he'd been able to move. He could sort of barely walk, let alone run. And without a reserve goalkeeper on the bench, he sort of valiantly played on. But it sort of wasn't their day, really, Chesterfield. But you have to give credit to Notts County nonetheless, because, you know, 2-1 down, the expectations and perhaps sort of the pressure of being at home as well, they could have wilted, but they really did play well. So, looking forward to their game against Torquay tomorrow. Like I just said, it would be interesting to see how they can cope up against the home crowd.
Yeah, it's true, because, players running true to form. You Hartlepool beat Bromley in the Sunday game with their home advantage. Bromley sort of a bit more of a run in the second half. And we did speak about the playoffs, almost invariably going to the third or fourth spot or second, the higher placed clubs getting through to the final, certainly from those eliminators we've gone that way. You've mentioned Torquay hosting Notts County. That's a massive tie, but as you say, Torquay with that benefit of having the fans.
Yeah, that's right. I do think it will make a real difference, like it did at Notts County, just sort of experiencing that. And I think there was sort of even times maybe in the second half where Notts County had a lot of possession but weren't necessarily sort of having the chances. But it really sort of felt like Chesterfield were under a load of pressure and sort of a goal was coming, even if it wasn't really, just because of the noise the fans were making and sort of the momentum that they were churning. And I think that can have a massive effect, both of course at Stockport on Sunday and Torquay on Saturday. So it's certainly a more advantage than ever being at home in these games. But two really big playoff games that I think are pretty sort of impossible to call, really. I can sort of see them being very tight. I don't know whether we'll see quite sort of many goals as we did in those eliminator games. But, I think when you look across all four of those teams, they all score goals and they're sort of capable of blowing opponents away, really. So, you wonder whether both sides will just tighten up and sort of play a bit more cautiously. But, I hope they don't, really, because we certainly didn't see that in the eliminators and it made for a great spectacle.
And it'll be interesting because those clubs that had the benefit of the home fans last weekend haven't got that this weekend. And I know that the clubs are used to not having their fans around them for most of the season, but it would just be strange to have that switch almost turned off and reversed.
Yeah, that's right. Like I say, you sort of really felt the backing of the home fans, suddenly then to have that going against you and things in the games, or when you would need supporters to sort of back you, not to have that, it does sort of feel really tough. And like I say, to sort of have that switch all of a sudden, it will be difficult. But there's a lot of sort of experience in these playoff sides, so I think that does sort of count for something. But certainly in those moments of pressure and those spells when a team is really going for it, having the backing of the fans behind you certainly had something.
Yeah, and I mentioned last week about Dave Challoner at Hartlepool being the longest, weirdly the longest serving manager of those four and those eliminators. He's only been in the job 18 months or so. And obviously he takes his side this Sunday to Stockport, who have another manager with just a handful of months into the job in the form of Simon Rusk.
Yeah, really, really interesting that one on Sunday. Like I said, it's so sort of difficult to call these games, really. Hartlepool sort of blew away Bromley in that first half, and then, you know, they sort of came back into it a bit, Bromley, but they held out Hartlepool. You know, they have some really sort of impressive players. Reece Oates has been really good this season, alongside Luke Armstrong up front. I like Nicky Featherstone in midfield as well. You know, so they're going to be going to Stockport sort of full of confidence, really, and they're sort of one of those sides, again, you know, you do feel like they can just blow teams away. I think maybe I sort of feel that more about Hartlepool because, you know, one of the few times I've seen them this season, they put seven past Wealdstone, and it's sort of kind of like, wow, this is a side that looks like it has goals from all over, really. But, you know, Stockport have the best defence in the league, so that's going to be a real test of Hartlepool's credentials going forward. You know, Stockport got off to a bit of a slow start under Simon Rusk. They sort of had a few draws and were struggling to score goals a little bit, but their foundations have really been built on their defence. They've had 19 clean sheets this season, and 15 of those have come under during Simon Rusk's time. So I think that goes to show the improvement that's been made there. You know, that's certainly a massively impressive record. So, yeah, this is probably sort of the toughest test Hartlepool will face in terms of trying to break down a team, I think that's for sure.
Yeah, so yeah, it gives us plenty to talk about this weekend, the playoffs. The playoffs are always exciting. And we found out this week the proposed way that next season's going to end in the reformed Step 4, Step 5 and Step 6. And we're going to have playoffs in there, as expected. But the playoffs at the bottom of Step 4 to Step 5 are going to be decided by a single leg or one leg playoff between the bottom sides of Step 4 and the top sides of Step 5, which I think brings another element back to the playoffs.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. It certainly makes for an exciting end to those seasons. But for sure, when, you know, you've got teams effectively playing for survival and another team sort of playing for promotion, it's, like you said, it's like a playoff, but it's sort of different for two different teams. You know, Stockport, you know, won't win promotion this weekend with a win, but Hartlepool won't be going down if they lose. So it's a nice sort of different dynamic to be introduced at those lower levels, and it's probably sort of interesting to see really the sort of standard in terms of the two steps at Step 4 and 5. I think generally the Step 5 teams who go up into that level do well. So if you're playing a Step 5 team, putting them up against a struggling Step 4 side, I mean, you would expect the Step 5 side to win that, really. But, you know, when there's really a lot on the line in those sort of one-off games, you don't know over the, you know, who will raise to the occasion, really. So, yeah, really interesting one to watch. And, nice little new dynamic.
And add in another dimension as well. I did notice at the bottom of a Step 6 that there's a potential for liability to relegation from Step 6 if there's sufficient clubs from Step 7 to be promoted. So it's always good to see that non-league, you know, we do things differently, but it's sort of cutting edge, isn't it?
You've got to be looking over your shoulder, Tim. I think that's what you're getting.
You've always got to be looking over your shoulder in this game. There's always someone younger coming through. Talking about someone younger coming through, after we spoke last week, we saw the announcement of Simon Bassey leaving his short tenure at Barnet to take up a first-team coaching role at Portsmouth with the Cowley brothers. Another great I think it's a great kudos for non-league to, you know, to show the quality that we've got operating at this level. But the Bees have been quick to fill that gap this week with Harry Kuhl in as the manager and Dean Brennan effectively in as director of football.
Yeah, an interesting appointment. I didn't see that one coming. Obviously, Harry Kuhl, former Liverpool and Australian international, played at the highest level. Has sort of since turned to management with a few roles at Notts County, Crawley, and most recently at Oldham in the Football League. But obviously now he's dropping into non-league, you know, where he hasn't played before or managed before, so a totally sort of new experience. But I think, you know, probably sort of the key in that appointment really is Dean Brennan being alongside him and, you know, having that vast sort of experience in non-league and knowing the players and sort of knowing what's needed in the National League, really. So that, you know, he'll really have to sort of listen to sort of Dean Brennan and trust his judgment on players and things. But, yeah, an interesting sort of double appointment for sure. And, yeah, be fascinating sort of to see how that goes. Of course, you know, Barnett have gone through so many managers in the last decade, let alone the last season, with Peter Beadle, Tim Flowers, Paul Fairclough, who was always only going to do it briefly in sort of for a few games as caretaker, and then Simon Bassey, who obviously turned down a chance to stay at the club, and now Harry Kuehl's come in. So, you know, they need stability. I think that's sort of a word that's been used a few times. So let's see if they can have it now with this new pairing.
Yeah, and a possibility, I think, of my former colleague Dave Anderson to stay there in the coaching role as well. So, yeah, maybe they need to be looking at a new sponsor, maybe Linguaphone or something, with Dave Anderson's Northern Irish accent, Dean Brennan's Irish accent, and Harry Gould's Australian roots. I mean, it's probably you're ticking lots of boxes for anybody that wants to learn do maybe impressions or just accents.
Yeah, we're talking about roots. It's almost a non-league show, football club sort of management team down there with Dean Brennan and Dave Anderson as well, who, of course, good friends of the show and contributors. So, yeah, I think maybe you'll have a chance of starting out front, I think, for the new season this way.
Well, I think we might have to start a new hashtag, a Made in Non-League Show, maybe, is maybe the way we need to go with that. We've got the playoffs, so we've got this restructuring, the promotion, relegation stuff. What else can we expect to read in this weekend's non-league paper?
Yeah, so I'll be at Torquay for their game against Notts on Saturday. Obviously, as we've spoken about, massive game there. So plenty of reaction from that one. Previewing Stockport against Hartlepool on Sunday. I've spoken to James Jennings to hear a little bit more about that Stockport defence. And we also hear from Dave Chandler as well. We've got Adam Virgo's Team of the Year, BT Sport pundit. Always a popular feature, seeing who he selected in his best 11 for this season. It's certainly a difficult one to pick. I'm glad I'm not picking it, that's for sure. We've also got a feature in Tay Adams. He'll be taking on England next week for Scotland. He came up through non-league, so we hear a little bit about his rise. We've got Josh Coulson as well, who signed for Southend. Of course, Southend maybe hasn't quite sort of been spoken about too much as of yet. Their sort of relegation and sort of debut season in the National League, but sort of certainly started well, signing a former winner with Leighton Orient, captain Leighton Orient, to their title success, and have also signed Reece Murphy as well from Yeovil. So they're making a good few signings there under Phil Brown, so that'll be an interesting one to follow. We've also got all the latest news from across the divisions at step two all the way down to step six. So there's plenty in there for everyone. It's a really sort of packed paper this week as usual. So any support on Sunday for it is greatly appreciated as always.
And always a decent reason to get up on a Sunday to read the non-league paper. And sometimes it's still some of it left over on a Monday as well. But David, thanks for joining us on the non-league show, and hopefully we'll speak to you again soon.
Cheers, Tim.
that's it for this week then. Thank you to all of our guests and for all of you for listening, wherever that may be. You can catch this weekend's National League playoffs via BT Sport, and with the Euro starting up as well, there's probably more and more venues are going to be opening up, and I'm sure that could mean games of football being shown at many a local non-league clubhouse. So check it out and do give them your support in as many ways as possible. It is essential that we make sure that we get back supporting our non-league clubs, both during the season and in the off-season, whether that's buying a beer, buying a burger, or just turning up and helping them with some tidying up, emptying bins, doing a bit of painting. Everything, every minute, every second that you can provide to your non-league club is vital in making them ensure that their future is bright. Don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show, myself there at Tim Fuel. Plus, of course, you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, via your smart speakers, and all good podcast aggregation sites. A little teaser for you as well, that you can find the new episode of the Non-League Gaffer Tapes coming out at the start of next week. A slightly different twist on Gaffer Tapes, but a great double header episode to listen to. Stay alert, stay safe. Thank you and goodbye.
The Jibber Jabber Production. JIBBA. JABBA.